And this morning we're going to look at character, of how God strengthens our character. But last week we looked at 2 Peter 3:18 and found that a believer in Christ, one who has invited Christ into our lives as a believer, has a responsibility but also a privilege to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have, as believers, we have a privilege of growing in our knowledge and our understanding of who God is, but also we have the privilege of growing in the grace that he has shown us as we show that to others. And today we're going to see what God's word tells us about that next step of a believer. The next step in a believer's life of developing Christian character. And to do this, we're going to look at another passage in 2 Peter, and 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can flip open there. We're going to open up to 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. That's where we're going to read primarily from this morning. And in those verses, we find that God's process, we find God's process of refining our relationship with him. This is where God does the growing. He does the developing. And it's the beginning processes of maturing us in faith, something that we might also call developing our character. So we come as people, we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then God begins to work in our lives, begins to work on us and shape our spiritual formation, but also shape our character. And that's what we want to look at here this morning, how godly character develops in our lives. So we're going to take a little bit of time this morning and see how God grows us, how he develops us. Let's pray. Father, this morning we give you thanks. As always, Father, you are near to us. And Father, we invite you just to come in this morning into our very presence, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would minister to us. Lord, that these words that we read, the ones that we have sung already, that they wouldn't just be words, but they would be ministry from your Holy Spirit to our very spirit this morning. Father, this morning, may we be changed because of what we have sung and what we have heard and what we have read on our own of your word. Father, we thank you for the awesome power that you have when we turn to you and ask you to minister to us. And that's what we do this morning, Father. We invite you to come and minister to our hearts this morning. We pray these things and commit these things before you today. Amen. Well, if your Bibles are open, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Is where we're going to be. D.L. Moody defined character this way. He said, character is what a person is in the dark. And I like that definition. And he continues, he says, character is not what we are known for, that's our reputation. So what we are known for is our reputation. Character is who a person is when the curtain of pretension is drawn back and the heart is truly revealed. And 2 Peter chapter 1 lays out how God works to form godly character within us. And it begins by stating the importance of our relationship with him. And you know, in my study, I have the advantage of being able to read over these scriptures over and over and over. It's kind of like taking a comb and going through it once, and then taking a comb and going through it again and again. And as I read this passage, really, I could preach probably just on just a couple of verses. I've got to jam in a whole bunch, but these words are loaded words. These are deep and meaningful words as we read through God's word for us. But as we're going to see, there's some obvious depth to what Peter has to say to us through the word this morning. So first of all, character formation, Peter says, begins with a relationship with God. So if we want our character to develop, if we want to be people of God, then it begins with a relationship with God to start with. Verses 3 and 4 read like this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And through these things, he has given us a very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world the world causes by its evil desires. The first thing we find out about character is that it stems from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Peter doesn't mix his words here. He doesn't mix his words on the gospel message of where we get our strength from. He says God has given us everything we need in life to lead a godly life. Do you believe that? God has given you everything that you need to lead a godly life. He has laid that bare before us. He has presented that to us. And we talked about that last week where we found out that by his grace, we are saved. We are called God called us by his own goodness, by his grace, and he made a way of salvation available to us through Jesus Christ. So there's nothing that we do that earns God's favor. There's nothing that earns our entitlement to be called a child of God. It's simply by God's grace that he gives us, that allows us to receive salvation. So there's absolutely nothing we can do except receive. It is by God's grace that we receive salvation that Christ brings. So by grace, we looked at last week, by grace we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2. And this is what Peter is talking about when he refers to what the divine power gives to us. And then, so he says, the divine power. So God gives us by his grace everything you need in salvation. And then Peter says, through these things, God has given, through the promise of salvation, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He says, Peter says, through this very great and precious promise. So by the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter is saying the Holy Spirit has been given this very great and precious promise that when we receive what Christ has done on the cross, that is a very great and precious promise. And he has given that to us. That if we receive it, Peter says in verse 4, then we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. So in other words, we are allowed through salvation to participate or be part of the divine nature of God. Because his Holy Spirit then comes and dwells within us. And we have escaped the corruption of the world. So instead of being corrupted, instead of being fouled up by the way the world sees itself and works among itself through that sin that is in the world, we are able to partake of a divine nature. God gives us, through salvation, a different perspective on the world, meaning we're no longer slaves to sin as we once were. And we see that many times in the scripture. You are no longer a slave, but rather you are a bondservant to Christ, someone who willingly goes and serves God, willingly calls God Lord and Savior. We become children of God. Now think about that for a moment. What Peter is saying, that because of God's grace, because of receiving salvation, we are now participants in the divine nature. We are now participants with God. He's referring here to the gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells each and every believer. Let me put this together. Because of God's grace, we are able to have the very Spirit of God dwelling within us, and thus connecting us directly to the very nature of God himself. So we sometimes wonder, so what does God do? He wants to develop our character. He wants to form us. He wants to shape us. How does that happen? Well, first of all, we have to have, Peter says, we have to have that connection to the divine nature of God. We have to be saved in order to be able to receive the Holy Spirit dwelling within us so that God is able to fully work within us. When the Holy Spirit is present in our lives, when we have invited him in to our lives, God begins to work. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just ritual practice. But it's a heart that God is working at and who God is shaping. Pardon me. Picked up a little bit of a cough this week. So this is an extremely powerful truth for us to know. In fact, it should knock our socks off to hear it, that we have that ability. And Peter writes this. That's why I say these words are loaded words. The God of the universe says that there is a way for us to be connected to the divine nature of the God who created everything, and that is by receiving His Holy Spirit. That's the connecting point, by receiving God's Holy Spirit. Well, secondly, character formation requires effort. So Peter says, this is how it happens. This is the mechanics that has to happen so that God is able to form our character. Now, he says, character formation requires some effort. Verses 5 through 8 is what we're going to look at next. So Peter tells us about character formation. And he says that there are some natural developments that should occur in our lives because of our relationship with God. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, there should be some natural developments that happen. So if you look at your Bible, verses 5 through 8, they kind of flow right out of 3 to 5. Because you have learned about Jesus and received him, Peter says, you are then called to action. As a believer, we are called into action. This is what Peter writes, for this very reason, so because of what God has done, because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, for this very reason, Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter lists for us, as does Paul in various places in the Scripture, the virtues or the character traits of a believer. So when we read through verses 5 through 8, those are the virtues or the character traits, godly character traits. And he's saying, here are the things that should come naturally because of your salvation. And he says, make every effort. Make every effort to put these, to have these, to live these out in your life. Now, this isn't works theology. We have to make sure that there's a differentiation there. Peter's not saying that you have to work for God's approval, that if you don't do these things, if these things aren't in your life, then God disapproves of you, and somehow you're inferior. That's not how grace works. In fact, that's a lie of the enemy, that we have to work for God to accept us. God has already established that. That's why grace is so important for us to understand. God has already accepted us. He's already received us. We already established that God receives us because of His grace. And instead, what Peter is saying here is that we are to put every effort into our spiritual formation and by extension, the godly character that results. So God is, what Peter is saying here is that we are to put in effort. Let me illustrate this for you. Let's say you inherit a farm. So picture the Christian life like a farm that the Lord gives you. You just inherited. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. It's a farm, and there you go. And the Lord gives you all the tools. He gives you all the equipment that you need, and not the old junk. Not the old stuff that's going to break down and maybe you'll get through. He gives you brand new equipment. He gives you equipment that isn't going to break down. He gives you seasoned equipment that's been tried already. So he gives you the farm. He gives you the tools. He gives you the equipment and even gives you the seed. He goes over to Andy's and he says, Andy, give me some of the best. Give me the best that you got. And Andy, he gives him the best that he's got. So God even gives us the seed to put in the ground, and everything that you're going to need is in your possession on that farm. This is God's gift for you, and what's best is that you really want to be a farmer. So in your heart, you're going, I'm made to be a farmer. This is in my blood. I want to farm. And so God gives you this farm, and gives you all the equipment, gives you all the seed, he gives you the land and everything, and then so what should you do? I would think you should farm. So if you've got all of this laid out for you, and you really want to be a farmer, then maybe you should farm. You should farm. So how do you be a productive farmer? God will give the increase to your fields, but what is your job? Your job is to get that seed in the ground. It's not going to grow if it's in a bin. It's not going to grow if it's in sacks around the back stacked up on a pallet. You have to put the effort in if you want something in the end. You have to put the effort in if you want to see growth. And likewise, as saved people, Christians are called to put in effort into their Christian walk. No farmer stands still with all of his tools and hopes that a crop is going to be produced. You can't hope for a crop. Maybe if you're five, you could do that. You could hope for things and that's how you live life, but not later on in life. There's effort that needs to be put in. If we want to grow in our faith, God calls us to use the tools and the knowledge and the opportunities that he has given us to grow. He says, here are all the things that you need. Now use them. They're right here at your fingertips. So God calls us to grow. So character formation requires effort on our part. Well, so how does God continue to grow us? So we're going to put in a little bit of effort. How does God continue to grow us? Through the individual circumstances, God develops our character. Now, we know that life is not always kind. In fact, life can throw us a curveball. It can send us for a loop sometimes. Things that can happen that in life that are hard, and we can wonder what God is doing because we come across these circumstances in life where things just aren't going as well as what we would like. The list of virtues that Peter lists in our passage are not always easy to live out. It's not always easy to add goodness to faith and knowledge to self-control. Sometimes it's hard to love someone the way that God tells us that we ought to. Sometimes life isn't necessarily fair. And we come across these struggles in life and we go, what is God doing? But here's the clincher. Here's the key to God's formation of our character. It's through our unique and individual circumstances that we experience that our character is actually formed. It's through the unique and individual circumstances that we experience that our character is formed. Ephesians 2:10 calls us God's handiwork or his workmanship. And just by its very nature, that word workmanship has some implications. Circumstances become the anvil of God's workmanship in our lives. He is continually hammering and chiseling and shaping us according to his will. Sometimes those experiences are going to be painful. Sometimes we're going to come up against things and we're going to say, God, what are you doing? How is this ever going to be a benefit in my life? Sometimes they are painful experiences that later teach us a valuable truth. Sometimes there's a joy that comes into our life that lets us cling closer to God, a different circumstance. All of life is a work in progress, as the scriptures tell us, as God grows us and shapes us into his perfection. That's why Paul says, run the race. Because life doesn't just exist in these moments. A race isn't won in the first 5 seconds. If it's a long-distance endurance race, it's going to be over the long haul as God continually shapes us and works with us and forms us into the people that he has called us to be. Every believer should look different from the day that they were saved. That's how we know that God has been at work. That's how we know God has been forming our character and developing us as his people. That's how we know that God has been at work in our lives. And along the way, our heart and our attitudes and our actions should become more like his, displaying more of his character through the changes that happen in our life. That's how character is formed. So it takes effort, and we have to be willing to yield and willing to be put on an anvil. And during those harder times in life or those real big struggles, we say, God, I know you're here. Show me the thing that I need to learn or what I need, the area I need to grow through this. And in those areas of joy, we say, God, this is a tremendous joy. It shows me of your love for me. Help me to keep that always in the back of my mind that you are a God of love, that you want the best for my life. Well, lastly, when we allow God to form our character, we begin to walk on a solid footing. Verse 10 reads this, begins like this. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A solid foundation is what you will have if you allow God to work on those rough edges in your life. A solid foundation is what you will have when you allow God to polish up those rusty patches that show up over the course of time. Every time God works on us, likely it's going to hurt a little bit. We might even get offended. We might not even like the rebuke that God gives us if we're walking out of step with Him, or the circumstances that we have to work through in life. We might not enjoy them. We might not like them, but God always has a plan for our lives and a purpose for our lives. He is always and continually shaping us. That's why we hear about the potter who shapes us and molds us. And we look at the Heavenly Father as the potter and we as the clay. In Jeremiah, we look at God's words for us where He says He has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. So let's bring this home a little bit this morning. How has God been forming your character? How has God been forming your character? What is the work that God is doing in your life right now that is crucial to developing godly character within you? Guaranteed, there's going to be one area, if you stop and allow God just to bring to your memory that event or that thing or that circumstance that He wants to file a little bit, that He wants to shape a little bit, that he needs to cut out or He needs to add on to in your life. God is doing something in the life of every believer right now. The question is, do we recognize it? Do we recognize it as God's handiwork as He forms us and shapes us? Do we recognize it as God building into us godly character, a godly way to approach the struggles and trials and even the joys of life? Do we recognize that it is God at work? There's always something that God is going to be working on because we are His workmanship and He isn't finished with us yet. You might feel underqualified or unworthy while He teaches you about trust. You might feel distant from Him while He teaches you about holiness. Maybe He is teaching you generosity or patience or love. Whatever God is up to in your life, my encouragement this morning is to allow Him to come in, to recognize that it is Him at work. Why do I say that? Because God is looking for the man or the woman who, despite their weaknesses and despite their doubts, want to become a mighty tool in the hand of the Savior, an instrument for His purpose, and a person that is built, that is founded on strength and character from God, who is shaped by God's hands Himself. So put effort. Let us put effort into our Christian walk. Let God grow us with godly character, and may the Lord work through each one of us in a mighty way to bring Him glory and honor. Let's pray this morning. Father, we give You thanks that You are Lord of all. And Father, we thank You for our very lives, the way we are set in, at this moment in history. But Father, You have a plan and a purpose for us. Father, help us to see your handiwork as You shape us and mold us. And Father, help us to yield to that and to grow, to allow You to shape us into godly individuals that would be people that are steeped and rooted in godly character. Father, we thank You that You love us that much, that You would care enough to take us away from those things that detract us, that draw us into the world and into its desires. And Father, You would desire to draw us instead to Yourself, that we would be shaped into holy vessels made for Your work. Father, thank You. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.